Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 218 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this week out with our 2026 F1 driver predictions. But of course, some of you might be wondering, this podcast has come out a bit late this week. Normally you guys are pretty, you know, bright and early on a Tuesday afternoon, spreading us with some entertainment. But of course, Jamie183, being a man of the people, you know, caring about you, the listeners, he decided he was going to skive out this week and head skiing in the south of France. So he's come back with a lovely ski tan all of our audio listeners. But Jamie, how was life?
Oh, it was fantastic. I would recommend it to anyone. I know I sound really out of touch, but genuinely, if you ever get the opportunity to go to the Alps and ski, then do it. It's great. It's my favourite thing in the world now.
Is it? Is that going to be your entire personality now? We're going to have to set up a skiing podcast.
We're going to change this to Knowing Ski.
Knowing Skis.
But we are back to talk about some Formula One. We've almost made it to the season. Amazingly enough, we're almost there. We've got, what, 4 more weeks?
It's a month from today the season kicks off in Bahrain. But of course, obviously, before then, we've obviously got...
The season kicks off in Australia.
Australia, isn't it? Yeah, I keep forgetting that. Obviously, before that, we've got the F1 live reveals next week, which we might do a live stream for. We don't know yet. We need to find out timings. And we've obviously got winter testing as well, which is going to be good fun to kind of go through. We've also got a few other bits and pieces of information as well. I assume we'll do a podcast next Monday, Jamie, back as normal.
Yeah.
We're going to do admin now in the show.
Exactly.
So we'll talk more about the McLaren car then, because I feel like this podcast is going to be quite a long one anyway. But yeah, today we're going to do our 2026 driver predictions or driver lineup predictions, obviously, for what the grid is going to look like. Ultimately, you know, we don't kind of converse before we go into these, but we were both kind of saying that a lot of them we don't think are going to be too unpredictable, generally because teams don't like to change their lineups drastically heading into new regulations unless they feel like they're making a big upgrade. Obviously a lot of people go really down the clickbaity route, but we try and keep these pretty realistic, don't we? I feel like there's going to be quite a few, especially early on, that we just go down with the same lineups, don't we?
Yes.
Are we going to do Constructors Order from 2024?
I think so, yes. The other thing is that often you see waves of driver moves in F1. So, like, you think back 2020 to 2021 was a bit crazy.
Yeah.
And then 2024 to 2025 has been a bit crazy with all the changes. Like, only two teams kept the same lineup for the upcoming season.
What we seem to find normally, isn't it, of course, is that teams will make a big move, and basically it's for drivers to basically spend a year with a team where there's no major rule changes, like 2020 into 2021, mm-hmm. or like 24 into 25, to basically embed themselves within an organization that they hope when the next regs come round are going to make a big move. That's normally why it works the way it does.
Yes, so 25 to 26 shouldn't be that volatile in theory, but this is Formula One, so you never know.
Well, we'll say all this now. We'll say we know wheel, and then everything will change drastically. Quickly as well, before we get to that, if you're new around here, or you have been listening for a while and you haven't already, please make sure you subscribe to the channel. We're trying to hit 1k subs at the moment. It means that YouTube will start paying us for our work as well. So we are 826 subs, so we're less than 200 away now. And a massive thank you to everybody that is still subscribing. Because obviously when we start getting paid by YouTube, then it means we can do more stuff with the show. But anyway, Let's kick this off then, Jamie. First of all, 2024 Constructors' Champions, McLaren. Current lineup, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri. Their 2026 lineup will be...
Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri.
Yep, exactly the same.
This is the one I was toying with a little bit, because obviously they've been together at McLaren already 2 years. This will be the third year going into 2025. So it could get a bit volatile, because they're both obviously very good drivers. I think right now Norris is a step above Piastri, marginally, not a whole step, but like just based on experience and the fact that he's now had that opportunity of a bit of a title fight, even if it wasn't fully fledged. I think Piastri is on the upward trajectory for sure. He's still only in his fourth season of F1.
Well,
now?
This will be his third season in 2025.
Wow. Yeah. He's really good. He's going to be
mad,
a world champion
it?
One day.
Jamie suddenly just realised how good Oscar Piastri is.
Yeah, exactly. So I think if Piastri continues upwardly, it could get a bit dicey this year. And the other thing is, I think if Norris starts well, or starts better than Piastri, and McLaren have to then back a driver in a driver's championship fight, and they back Norris again, I think Piastri, and specifically Mark Webber, who's his manager, Mark Webber, won't allow
God,
it.
Jamie, say it. Say the line.
Not bad for an number two driver. Cheers. That's the Australian done for the day. We'll
move
quickly on.
That's more West Country towards the end, but there we go.
Yeah, I think if they back Norris again over Piastri, I think there'll be some hard conversations to be had. But they're both contracted to 2026, and they'll be going into the season on equal footing, and only will back one if they need to, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Oscar Piastri has basically just got to try and do two things this year. Obviously, you mentioned that Lando's still got the edge on him. I think, obviously, one, as we said, it's because he's, you know, just been in the sport a lot longer. And two, of course, you know, he has... I think, again, we've mentioned it before, but it goes underappreciated how well Lando has been able to mould that team around him. It's not quite at Max Verstappen levels with Red Bull, but it certainly is still very, very impressive as well. But Oscar Piastri, two things, in my opinion, he needs to do this year is, A, start the year strong. You know, if he can chalk up a couple of good results, beat Lando a couple of times in like the first five or six races, especially round one being Australia's home Grand Prix. And number two, and I hope he's been doing the work over the winter with this, he needs to figure out the Pirelli tyres a bit more, because that's where he struggled.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But he's a very exciting talent. Obviously, his racecraft is phenomenal based on those couple of moves he did around the back end of the European season with the one around the outside of turn four at Monza, and then the one on Leclerc, the send into turn one at Baku as well. So he's got all of the talent and a lot of the things that make a driver special. There's just a few little weaknesses he needs to iron out, basically.
And there's small weaknesses as well. You know, he's proven, you know, for example, in Baku last year that he's not a bottle job, that kind of thing. You know, I don't think he's got any kind of... I think headspace-wise, he's already right there. I think if he was put properly into a championship fight this year, I can't see a reason at the moment why I wouldn't feel like he's got a fair shot. But it is just about... I mean, let's be fair, if McLaren suddenly rock up and they've got the best car by, a little bit of a margin this year, which I think could happen, but it won't be much... If it becomes a fight between those two, then tensions will rise more.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like Oscar won't kind of play the games either. You know, he is a modern Kimi Raikkonen. He will just do what he needs to.
Yeah. And he will be very chill and very cool, calm and collected. Even when the pressure's on, I think.
Let's move on.
Speaking of pressure, Ferrari came second in the Constructors' Championship last year. Obviously, they've got a new star-studded lineup this year in 2025 with Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc. Who's going to be their 2026 lineup, Matt?
I've gone with Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton. I mean, they're both... Leclerc's going to be there basically his entire career, unless something dramatic happens. Hamilton's got a two-year deal. The only way I could see this changing is if Hamilton wins number eight this year. I think genuinely, if he won eight now, he'd just then go immediately.
I still don't think he would, to be honest, because the amount of flack he gave Nico Rosberg when Rosberg quit after winning, I don't think he'd ever do that for his own pride.
This is world title. No, you say that, his own pride. He's got so much other stuff going on. I guess. I think Hamilton now, if he somehow brings Ferrari back to the top, wins the world title, I mean, that is the ultimate mic drop, isn't it? Of, yep,
it would
done
be
there.
Quite cool.
Thank you.
But yeah, I don't see the lineup changing at all as well.
It's unlikely. Like I said, that's the only scenario I can see.
Even if one of them gets smashed by the other one, which I don't think will happen, I still think they'll keep the same lineup. Just for this is such a major lineup in Formula One. Like this is like we could look back on this like a Senna, Prost, or like Schumacher never had a good teammate, did he? But
no.
Like this is one of the best lineups of all time potentially, and I don't think they'll change it after 1 year personally. Even if Leclerc smokes Hamilton, Hamilton smokes Leclerc, I still think they'll keep it the same for 2026.
Well, let's be fair, Ferrari are kind of in a weirdly lucky position with this, aren't they? Even if one of them does smoke the other, Leclerc is still Ferrari's golden child. You know, he's meant to be the chosen one. And Hamilton is obviously, you know, it's... I mean, I haven't bought Lewis Hamilton merch yet, but I'm sure I'll have to this year. You know, they're kind of in that perfect scenario. But even if one does smoke the other, then they haven't really got a reason to sack either of them anyway, to be honest.
No, exactly.
The only reason they would is if there was a huge fallout between them.
Yeah,
but even
like
then,
Hamilton
I can't see that really happening. Exactly, because they're both... Obviously, I think it works slightly better when you've got an experienced driver like mm-hmm. Hamilton alongside... Because I think they have genuinely got a lot of respect for each other. And
yeah.
I think... I wonder if there's a little bit of Lewis has seen the way Leclerc races wheel to wheel with Max, and kind of whether he feels he can mould Leclerc to be the rival to Max that he needs to be when Hamilton does call it a career is the other interesting question.
We'll see. I do think, yeah, it helps, like, they're at different stages of their careers. So you look at all the big teammate fallouts in the past, they're usually, when they're at the same point, or a similar point of their career.
It's not normally when one of them's in the twilight.
Exactly. And this is a bit of a dream move for Hamilton. So I'm sure he will do very well. But I do think Leclerc will beat him. But that's for next time, or whenever we do our predictions.
Exactly. Well, we've already done them a little bit, haven't we?
I guess.
Next up then, of course, is Red Bull. Current lineup of Max Verstappen, Liam Lawson as we head into 2025. Of course, mm-hmm. Lawson, a new driver over at Red Bull this year. Jamie, Red Bull's 2026 lineup will be
Max Verstappen and Liam Lawson.
Yep.
I don't see it changing because they've thrown so many drivers at this second seat. Obviously, Verstappen's locked in until 2028, unless Red Bull really fall off a cliff in 26.
Or he just wants to be a stay-at-home dad.
I think Lawson will do okay enough to get a second season. The other thing is, they've really got nobody else to throw at that seat anymore because, you know, they've tried Albon, they've tried Perez, they've tried from their own academy, they've tried a proven midfielder.
I love the way you say this with Yuki Tsunoda in, what, year five down at VCAP?
Oh, exactly.
They've got no one to throw at this.
Tsunoda is just, like, he's gone up against Lawson. Yes, Tsunoda did marginally beat him, but clearly they've made that decision, and Red Bull are a very stubborn organisation when it comes to young drivers. So now they've made that decision, I don't think they'll go back at it, to be honest.
No. The only thing I could see potentially changing this lineup for 2026 if, and I'm certainly not saying this is going to happen, but if somehow Isaac Hadjar absolutely wiped the floor with Yuki, like dumped 4 or 5 tenths of a second on him week in, week out in qualifying and was just
potentially
better. But I can't see that happening.
No, neither can I. And I think the Red Bull seat will... Surprisingly, given how volatile that seat has been over the last 5 to 10 years, well, since Ricciardo left, really, it's never really had a safe home, that second driver, has it? But
nope.
Yes, I think it will stay the same. And we can move on.
Well, this
you
is
want
the
talk
thing
more
is
about
that
Red Bull.
I was just going to say, though, if anybody at the moment, I'm of the mindset of, if anyone can adapt to that, it's got to be Liam Lawson. If Lawson, I know we said this about Perez as well, but if Lawson cannot adapt to make it work, then Red Bull seriously need to rework the way they design their cars from the ground up. Because as
just enter one car
this year. Well, save the money on the second car for a few years and work on cloning Max, That way, yeah, you just crash into himself every week, but still.
Yeah, Max Verstappen would not allow himself to be his teammate.
Exactly. Exactly.
But yes, we'll see. Lawson always wins his first race in a new formula. So, could Lawson win the Australian Grand Prix on New Zealand opposition turf? That would be quite
something.
Well,
he's already done his first Formula One Grand Prix, so he's going to struggle there.
But you know, his first...
He could win it.
His first serious Grand Prix.
Fair enough. Fair enough. It could happen. It could happen. Next up then, Mercedes. Obviously, a new lineup as well coming into 2025. Mm-hmm. George Russell and Kimi Antonelli. Jamie dislikes Kimi Antonelli.
I don't.
You do.
It's such a
well,
myth.
You just don't want to see him succeed. It's hilarious.
It is a bit of a myth, although I'm not going to do much to help myself. Because my lineup for Mercedes 2026 is George Russell and Carlos Sainz.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think Sainz will go to Williams, basically, and trounce Alex Albon. I think he's way too good to be driving.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In the midfield.
Okay, but I think you said that about a lot of drivers.
Yeah, you could say that about a lot of drivers. But if Mercedes do end up in a title fight, a constructor's title fight, that is, I think having a rookie who's 18 will potentially hold them back. And, you know, if Russell's up there finishing second, third, fourth, even first, and Antonelli's finishing eighth, seventh every week,
Do you think he's going to be the new Perez, do you?
Part of me is like, it could happen very easily. I think he's probably
you
the
really
least...
You really do hate the kid, don't you?
But if you look at it logically, McLaren have got a very, very, like, two multiple race winners. Ferrari, obviously, excellent lineup. Verstappen at Red Bull, Russell at Mercedes. I think that 7th, 8th spot is going to be between Lawson and Antonelli, every week, basically. So if Mercedes do want a Constructors' Championship, I think they've got to upgrade a second driver. And I even think this one could happen mid-season.
No, you don't. You're not honestly going to sit here and tell me that Kimi Antonelli, Mercedes' young protege, is going to get dropped mid-season.
I don't think he'll get dropped from the
and
sport.
And then also then try and say that he's going to get... that you don't dislike him.
I think he could... I think it won't be a dropping. It'll be a swap to give him some... it'll be like a going out on loan to Williams is how they'll frame it. Because obviously...
So that's balls.
Yeah. A swap. Signs Francinelli. I mean, this is really what should have been the case anyway for 2025, I think. But yes, we will see.
Have you ever considered the fact that Mercedes for 2025... might simply not try in terms of they might just settle for fourth best or something like that and just put all their eggs in 2026.
What's the point of being there if you're not going to try?
Because the ground effect era has been such a waste for them anyway, pretty much. Of unless you think you're going to be able to, like, Mercedes, let's be fair, Mercedes are a team that they, you know, they don't care if they're going to finish third or fifth in the constructors. The only thing that matters is first.
Yeah.
You know,
if you get to July and you're second in the constructors, Russell's leading the championship.
Oh yeah, then
and Antonelli's
they'll try,
sick.
Of course. But
then
I don't
what
think
do you
they
do?
Wouldn't. They wouldn't drop Antonelli still. I don't think. I think the problem is, I think Mercedes are trying to use Antonelli in the same way Red Bull tried to use Verstappen, just without obviously
having
the junior team. And I think they're gonna give him time, and they've got it. I think, you know, they could have easily put him in that Williams seat, and I'm sure they would have had the option to if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But I think they're just so invested in trying to make sure that he's working with Mercedes that mm-hmm. that is what really matters to them.
Yeah. I part of me hopes I'm wrong. I don't hate Antonelli.
But you do think he's going to get dropped mid-season.
But that's not because I don't like the kid. I just think he's not ready. There's nothing wrong with that. He's 18.
He's never driven a Formula 1 car before. You rate the young drivers. He has.
I do. I've given Lawson a seat at Red Bull.
Hang on a minute. You said Charles Leclerc was going to be a flop when he went to Ferrari. He wiped the floor with Seb immediately. You just dislike young drivers, Jamie. This is your problem. You just don't believe in the future of the sport.
Well, mate, hopefully I'm wrong. I hope
you're, like, you're like every other person that goes skiing, stuck in 1958.
Exactly. Come back with my top hat on and my smoking a pipe.
And you're thinking of 18,
young kids out of my sport.
Dearie me, dearie me.
Right, I'm guessing you've put Antonelli based on that.
I've said Russell Antonelli, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm very, very interested to see where other people are going to slot in at yours later on down the line.
Yes.
Next up then, Aston Martin, yes. Jamie. Current lineup, Alonso and Stroll. 2026
I think we might
lineup.
Have gone different here.
I hope we have.
I have gone Alonso and Stroll.
We have gone different.
Okay, let me know yours.
Tsunoda and Stroll.
Tsunoda instead of Alonso. He's contracted.
Is he? I thought he was going to... I think he's going to give it up at the end of this year.
Really?
You don't like the young drivers. I don't like the old drivers.
Alonso is hanging on the skin of his teeth to that 2026 hope that Aston Martin is suddenly good. And I think Alonso's locked in. 2026 is his last year in the sport. 20 years after he won his most recent world championship.
But he's also saying that 2025 is going to be his swan song.
No, he's not. Where have
because
you seen
this
that?
Because Newey will get time with the car.
Okay,
and I think there's going to be pressure from Honda to get Tsunoda in.
I do agree. I also wanted to put Tsunoda in this team. But
should we put Tsunoda and Alonso?
Well, I've seen other people do that, but... Yeah. I don't think Stroll will ever leave that team.
I think he's been doing some WRC testing recently. He could become a rally driver. I mean, the good ending to this story is that Lawrence then funds M Sport in the WRC, gives them
that
a ton
is,
of money so they can compete.
The lineup I wanted to put in this team was Alonso Tsunoda.
That would be the lineup we want, but of course Lance Stroll still exists.
Exactly, and I don't see Lance leaving that team until his dad isn't the major stakeholder, or he just packs it in himself and goes and plays tennis or something. So, yeah, I think Tsunoda will have to wait another year and then replace Alonso at the end of 26, because I don't see Alonso leaving. He's been clinging on to this false hope that Aston Martin will have a breakthrough season.
I honestly think 2025 could absolutely kill that, though. And it would be the most Alonso thing as well to leave a team just as they become dominant.
True. He's already done it about three times.
He can make some enemies this year, I feel.
I hope he does. We need an Alonso villain arc.
We do need his villain arc back. Yeah, okay.
2023 and 4 were a bit too positive for Fernando Alonso.
They were, yeah. They really were. I mean, to be honest, I think we should have a new rule on the podcast that we can't talk about Aston Martin just because it's so annoying. And I hate the fact that obviously whenever we talk about anything, of course, it has to be with a precursor that Lance Stroll is still with that team and always will
yes.
be for as long as he wants to. And it just annoys
yes.
me.
Also, side note, if you had Stroll and Tsunoda in a team,
yeah.
that would probably be up there with, like, it's certainly in recent memory, the worst lineups of all time where drivers aren't rookies. Is that harsh?
I think you're going to say if they had like a world championship winning car, it would be like Hill and Villeneuve all over again. That kind of thing. Hang on a minute.
No, I like Jensen Button a lot.
I liked Rubens
worthy,
a lot as well.
Worthy world champion.
He deserved to have one, to be fair to him. But yeah, it's just that kind of... Like I said,
if Aston did have a world championship car... You genuinely wouldn't know. It would need to be half a second clear of everything else.
Oh, it would have to be completely dominant.
Yeah.
I think, actually, Tsunoda, I feel like, could manage pretty well. If he had, like, a 3/10 advantage or something, he'd keep up with most.
I'm not sure.
Fair enough. Again, Tsunoda's young. Jamie doesn't like him, ladies and gents. You've got to understand this.
He's not younger than me.
He's a day older than you, isn't he?
He's a day older. There you go.
There you go. Who knew?
What's next? Alpine finished sixth, somehow.
Yep. Clutched that one.
This
up,
one, I'm sure, will have gone the same because everyone in the community, everyone in the paddock knows this will be the lineup by mid season.
By rank
I've gone Pierre Gasly and Franco Colapinto.
I've gone the same, Jamie, but I don't sound as certain as you because Colapinto could still keep crashing cars and
that could
be a problem.
He could. So if Colapinto does turn up at round six and then stack it 15 times between now and the end of the season, who is driving next to Gasly?
This is the problem, isn't it? Could they bring... I mean, this is Alpine. We could genuinely see Doohan race for like four. Colapinto come in, do 10. Then they bring Doohan back again. just some.
I could see them
class.
Getting a. I mean, in my order of events, potentially they could snap up Tsunoda, and bring back the Gasly Tsunoda.
I'm just gonna have a look.
Do Alpine have any young drivers? Mini, who does he race for?
No, I was actually looking at Mercedes Juniors, of course, with them taking on Mercedes Power Units next year. But
Gabriele Mini, who does he drive for? Ferrari.
I mean, it could be Paul Aaron, couldn't it?
No, Mini's an Alpine driver.
I know Mini's an Alpine driver as well, but so is Paul Aaron, and he was obviously formerly a Mercedes Junior.
Wow, it's all coming together. But
it's all coming together for Paul.
This
Aaron.
Is all very hypothetical. Because Tsunoda,
it's going to be Gasly and Colapinto.
It's going to be Gasly and Colapinto. And I feel for exactly. Doing because he's gone through all of the promo. He'll do Guru the Grid. He'll do all his media stuff. He'll do all the photography. And then he's going to be gone in 5 races.
Oh, it's going to be so awkward when he gets sacked and they just have to keep showing him in Guru the Grid for a couple more episodes because they've already edited it all.
Well, Guru the Grid only comes out in like the summer, isn't it? It's like when Nick De Vries was in it and he's just already lost his seat.
He's already been sacked.
They
and
always
then they try and edit
pre-season.
It out awkwardly and this, that, and the other, and it's just painful.
Exactly. Man. Exactly. But, no, I think Gasly is safe. That's his team now, sadly for him.
Yeah. I still love the fact that Piastri seemed more happy to win Grill the Grid than he did when he won races. Such
well, yeah. Comment. McLaren didn't help with the way he won his first race, to be fair.
No, but I even meant Baku.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to go on Grill the Grid. That, if I was an F1 driver, oh, that'd be the thing I'd look forward to the most.
Ladies and gents, if you're watching this from the FOM, put Jamie on Grill the Grid this year.
Do it. We should do podcast Grill the Grid.
We basically do most weeks during the season.
No, but we would be, as in if we teamed up, if you did like Pointless F1 edition.
We'd be on fire.
And you did different podcasts up against each other, we would win.
We would, I think, yeah, we'd be right up there. It'd be fantastic. Ladies, why hasn't someone done that yet? Put F1 podcast in duos. On a
that would be fantastic.
Format. Jamie and I would wipe the floor.
We actually would. I'm not even joking.
Who's next, Jamie? After Alpine, it was Haas.
Correct.
Ocon and Behrman, lineup for 2025.
All new lineup.
Yep, all new lineup, which didn't go well for Haas the last time they went for a new lineup.
No.
2026.
I have gone for Ocon and Ollie Behrman.
As have I.
I don't see this changing. Behrman's obviously earmarked for that Ferrari seat once Hamilton calls it a day. And I don't think he'll call it a day yet. So he's going to chill at Haas until that day comes. Esteban Ocon is a younger Kevin Magnussen, basically. So
pretty much, name. Except for he has one lucky win to Kevin's one lucky podium.
Yeah, exactly. Not much to be said, really. I think this lineup will be all right. I think Ocon will probably start the season slightly better than Behrman, but over the course of the season, Behrman might beat Ocon.
I think it's how they manage the toxicity between the two of, isn't it? But Haas have famously, ever since they came into the sport, have just held on for drivers for arguably a bit too long every time rather than taking big risk.
Yeah, the fact Grosjean and Magnussen were there until the end of 2020 was mad.
Well, admittedly, I think that car was terrible.
It was. But pulling the trigger when they did was mental.
Oh yeah, it was just pulling the trigger in the way. Like I can understand they had to try and get Mick in. Like I can understand the politics at play behind the scenes there. And of course, obviously they are the Ferrari Junior team. They kind of have to do these things as well. But yeah, it was just like I said, bringing in Mazepin was obviously a step too far for all the wrong reasons. But I think in many ways it has kind of been good for the sport since then.
It
means that teams are probably more careful with that money can't fix all your problems unless you're Lance Stroll.
But that's disrespectful. Stroll's better than Mazepin.
Oh, Stroll is better than Mazepin. There was a brilliant stat that's been circulating this week, Jamie, that between 2017 and 2020,
I've seen this.
Mercedes, Ferrari and Red Bull had 156 of 158 front row starts and Lance Stroll was the other two. Which one of them admittedly was thanks to penalties and then of course that pole in Turkey.
Yeah, even the penalty one, he still qualified fourth, didn't he? In the Williams, in Monza.
Was he fourth or was he third? I thought he split the Red Bulls anyway, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
Could be wrong.
He was definitely
I could be wrong.
He was definitely third or fourth.
He was second on the grid, yeah.
But Stroll's wet weather qualifying prowess hasn't really happened in the last 3 years. So
it
hasn't worked
with ground effect cars, yeah. It's really. The ground effect cars are terrible in the rain. Like, they're
well,
so unbelievable. No, but that's my whole point. They're so unbelievably bad in the rain. Like, no one can do anything.
Apart from Verstappen going 17th to first, you know.
Because he got a lucky red flag, and I hate this so much. Your narrative annoys me. Go back and watch
well,
that
no one else
race.
Was overtaking, were they?
Snoozer. He couldn't even get past Ocon first time round. He was stuck behind the Alpines for laps. Stuck behind the Alpines for so many laps.
10 fastest laps in a row at the end, yes please.
Yeah, because everybody else was stuck behind the Alpines that you can't get near because of the stupid ground effect regs. So dumb. So genuinely, Brazil 2024 annoys me so. It's not even the fact that Max won, it's just the way it
is. It is the
so stupid. It's genuinely just the fact these cars don't work in the rain. Like if I was a Lando Norris fan or something, then like I'd be annoyed, obviously, that he'd throw it away. But he didn't deserve to win the title anyway.
But you just hate that Max is being lauded as one of the best wet weather drives ever.
I don't hate that. I hate the fact that people say that is what. Like, he's had great wet weather drives, but the fact that's included in them, I honestly think does a disservice to some of his other wet weather drives, is what annoys me.
Brazil
2016, obviously Silverstone 2016, going around the outside of Rosberg,
oh, yeah.
Was brilliant. Hockenheim as well.
This, what was the one in Silverstone 2024, was very good from him. I don't think that Red Bull should have been near second place in that race.
Oh, it was helped by the others made a strategy blunder at the end as well, but yeah. I'm not sitting here and claiming that Max isn't a good wet weather driver, because he obviously is. My point is that one isn't the great example.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Example of it is what annoys me, and people use it as such. Anyway, we've got very off topic
to use
there,
it
Jamie.
As such.
I know
right.
You will.
Speaking of Red Bull, they have a junior team.
They do. What a good segue.
The Cash App Racing Bulls.
It's not that callback for this year, though, is it?
No,
it's
not.
Visa Racing Bulls or something.
It's just Racing Bulls, I think, or something like that. RB.
Well, their title sponsor is still Visa.
Okay. Well, who have you put in there? Obviously, you've not got Tsunoda, because he's driving for Aston Martin.
I have. I've completely changed up their lineup for 2026.
Really?
I have. So I think Hajar is going to be a flop this year.
One who hates young drivers. I'm sorry.
You've seen his junior career. He's barely done anything. So I've gone, Jamie. I think Arvid Lindblad, of course, he's going to be Red Bull's kind of next pro to say that they want to move up through the ranks. But I've completely left field but alongside him, because I think he's going to do very, very well in F2 this year. He's Dino Boganovic, current Ferrari junior.
Former F1 esports driver.
Dino Boganovic?
Yes.
Was he?
I've met him at the F1 esports grand final.
Was he a former esports driver, was he? I did not know this.
I believe
Which
so.
Which year? I don't think he was he?
I'm going to do some research.
I don't believe he was.
Carry on speaking about...
He would have been like 14 at the time. I mean, he did very, very well in his first couple of outings in F2. When all the F3 drivers moved to F2 at the end of the year. He seemed like the one that did best treading water as he moved up. Obviously, currently a Ferrari junior, but of course, obviously, you're looking at kind of Ferrari paths at the moment. He's not really going to get a look in there. So I think Red Bull will snap him up if he has a really good F2 campaign, give him that shot in F1 that he wants, and become the first Swede since Marcus Ericsson back in the sport. Have you got any information on Dino Boganovic?
Yes,
an F1
he has competed
driver?
In several F1 esports seasons.
Has he? Wait, this Indeed. Must have been early days then, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I did not know this. Or did I know
Yeah,
this?
It must have been
Which
2018, years? 19-ish, I reckon. Like, years ago now. Because when he went to F3, they were making a big deal out of it. That it's like, oh, an F1 esports driver that's made it to real motorsport. But actually, F1
esports...
It
was Chim Pollock-Bassey that did it before.
It was always a side hustle, F1 esports, for him anyway. Because he was always into karting and that. So,
yeah.
Fair enough. I don't see that happening.
Okay, who's your lineup?
I like Boganovic, but Red Bull are prone to not leaving their stable.
Nick De Vries.
Yeah, but that was just because Marco got like tunnel vision.
Marco came off his
okay
meds.
Race. Exactly. I have obviously got Tsunoda there for his sixth season. He's waiting for that Aston seat to open up, and that's the only place he can go. And I've also got Arvid Lindblad, because Isaac Hadjar will be a flop, as you said.
Fair enough. So neither of Isaac Hadjar is going to be in 2026. He's getting 1 year.
Yes. And I said this last week, or last podcast we did, that here's a bold prediction I will stand by. And I hope I never meet Isaac Hadjar in the flesh, because he would beat me up.
He's going to get beaten up by an 18-year-old.
He will never drive a team that isn't the B-Carb, Minardi, Toro Rosso team.
Could he go Alpine because he's French?
Oh, well, I did wonder that. He could, but I just think Colapinto's better. So...
Fair enough.
Yeah, next up, Williams.
I've changed up my lineup as well, spoilers, but you really? Must have, because yeah. Obviously you've taken Sainz out.
I've just done a straight swap. The double A team.
Oh, Albert yes, Antonelli. Of course. Yeah, interesting.
As I said, it could happen mid-season. I do think Sainz will wipe the floor with Albon, and very quickly teams at the front will be like, oh, hang on, why have we let him go to Williams? And he must have escape clauses. I think he wouldn't have gone there without escape clauses. Obviously, James Vowles and Toto Wolff have a good relationship. I don't think it'd be that bad for Williams to get Antonelli, because they do well with the young drivers. I think they'd be quite happy. And it's a safer place for Antonelli to make mistakes.
I cannot see Antonelli going from Mercedes to Williams.
Well,
like,
we shall
what's
see.
Happened? Every driver that's driven for Mercedes in the sport since they came back, Schumacher retired, Rosberg retired, Bottas got dropped and then has come back, and then Hamilton's obviously gone. That's it. And Russell obviously is still there.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very cautious with their driver moves, but I don't know. I just think that he won't be very good. Basically, and Formula One.
I can't get over this, man.
This narrative. We'll have to wait and see.
I cannot wait for you to be so wrong.
I hope I'm wrong. I
hope you're wrong.
Because
I will remind you of it every... When Antonelli wins Australia, breaks Max's record for youngest winner, I'm never going to stop reminding you of it.
Great.
My lineup, though, Jamie, I've stuck to the Williams stable, though. I've got Alex Albon, of course, but I've put him alongside Luke Browning for 2026.
Really?
Browning, obviously, had a decent F3 campaign. Obviously won Macau in 2023. 2024, again, had a decent F3 campaign. And even in Formula 2, although he didn't do as well as Boganovic straight out the gates, he did score points in both Baku and Abu Dhabi and missed out narrowly in Qatar as well. So he's adjusted into F2 fairly well in those couple of races. He's high tech for 2025. I think that Williams will want to poacher on their own stable, because I think Sainz is going to go as well.
I personally don't think Luke Browning is the guy, looking at his junior career.
They hired Logan Sargeant, Jamie.
They did. But I think if Browning came in, he would be a very similar driver to the likes of Latifi and Sargeant, where he's not offensive to the grid, but he's not going to go on and do.
I think saying Luke Browning is on a level of Latifi and Sargeant is a bit unfair.
Well, we'll
see. He's a Macau Grand Prix winner. Like, that takes skill.
There's plenty of drivers in F2 who I think, maybe not plenty, but there's at least a handful of drivers in F2 who are more going to be more ready by the end of 25.
Name
and a bit
me,
more exciting. Well, I think Mini, definitely.
What? Gabrielle
Mini's good. He's very good.
Of course you like Gabrielle. If you had to pick an F2 driver to like, of course Jamie would like Gabrielle.
Why?
Mini.
He's a good driver.
He's just... just annoys me.
I like him a lot. Pepe
Jamie,
Martin,
I've got two words for
obviously
you.
Obviously, he was rubbish last
two
season.
Two words. He's French.
I thought he was Italian. He is Italian.
Oh, he is Italian. Ignore me. Well, he looks French.
He drives a French car, so I understand why. Obviously, Paul Aaron.
He is Italian. I forgot he's Italian. I always just thought he was French.
Are you going to like him now because he's not French?
No.
That's very, very...
No, I still don't like him, because if I didn't like him just because he's French, then that just makes me a racist.
Yeah, that wouldn't be great, would it? I don't know. I like Luke. I mean, I don't know much about Luke Browning, but...
Clearly. You put him on the same level as a TV and Sargeant.
But you think the whole high-tech lineup from 2025 F2 is going to make it to the grid then?
I do, don't I? Yeah, because it's...
Browning, Boganovic.
Exactly, yeah. I think, well, Hi-Tech apparently are going to take over Alpine anyway, so perhaps that could be their lineup in 2025.
Exactly. Next up, the last place in the constructors was Audi. Well, will Sauber kick Sauber stake Formula One team?
Yep, I can't wait for this year for you with Hülkenberg there.
You know what? The Vegas upgrade gives me a little bit of hope because Bottas got Q3 in Abu Dhabi and Hulk's better than
Bottas. Yeah, but that's because Bottas is... Oh, behave! Hülkenberg podium count. No, he's not.
Hülkenberg would never lose to Joe.
Eh?
Hulk would never have got beaten 4-0 in points by Joe.
Sorry?
Bottas lost to Joe
2020. Sorry, I thought you meant he got beaten 4 years in a row by Joe.
No.
Yeah, but you look at, like, Russell against Kubica or Williams in 2019 and stuff. It's often actually the case that the worst driver ends up picking up the lucky point. I'm sorry, you cannot sit here and tell me that multi-race winner Valtteri Bottas is worse than Nico Hülkenberg.
If you put Hulk in that Mercedes for 5 years, he would have more race wins than Bottas.
I don't think he would. I think he would have been wiped the floor with...
Well, Bottas was as well.
I think they're similar, don't get me wrong. I think they're similar in terms of their ability. But I wouldn't sit here and go, Hülkenberg is definitely better.
I think they're similar, but I think Hulk's got the edge.
I'll behave now.
But yes, talking nice not of 2025, we're talking about 2026.
Yeah, Bottas got podiums in a Williams. Hulk couldn't manage that.
But the Williams was the second fastest car on many occasions that season. Hülkenberg has never driven the second fastest car.
He did in 2020 Silverstone.
And got third on the grid.
He lost to Lance Stroll in the race.
Yeah, he was on for fifth, and then the team were like, we can't have him beating Stroll, so we're just going to box him out of nowhere. yes, let's talk about... Well, I'm going to continue talking about Nico Hülkenberg because he is in my 2026 lineup for Audi.
Yep.
Alongside Gabby Bortoletto. It's not going to change.
Exactly the same, yeah.
I think this lineup is... I mean, Sauber do this thing where they have two drivers for 3 years and then swap. So
they do like to have a system, don't they, in place if you get a three-year cycle for some reason. I mean, let's be fair. Hülkenberg wasn't a signing for 2025. He's a 2026 signing that's been brought a year early, which he's just got to accept the fact. I mean, when Audi inevitably stink the place up and Hülkenberg's wasted a year of his career right at the end, it's going to be funny.
I will not put them last in my constructors' predictions for 2025.
I like that. Bortoletto is basically just a hedged bet, isn't he? Of if he delivers, they keep him. If he doesn't, then they can get rid. No kind of problem. Yeah, but he's proven to be adaptable throughout his junior career, so I think he'll do enough to stay. And I think Hülkenberg and him will work well together.
Yeah, and Sauber love this kind of thing where they've got an experienced and a rookie or an experienced and a young driver. So, yeah, they had it with Raikkonen and Giovinazzi. They had it with, obviously, Bottas, Joe. Ericsson, Leclerc, back in the day. Marcus Ericsson, obviously a similar calibre of driver to Valtteri Bottas.
To Kimi Raikkonen and Valtteri Bottas, of course.
Yeah, I think this is a lineup very well suited to one another. And I think it'll go swimmingly. And Hülkenberg will definitely score points on multiple occasions. And
really,
that's not just hopium.
Oh, I can't wait for that car to be further off the pace than it was this year.
Well, I got through 2023 okay, and that was a seventh place and a couple of sprint points.
wasn't it? I forgot how bad Haas were in 23. Because remember, we were genuinely saying that this could be the end of Haas then. And then Komatsu has come in and actually shown them how to run a team.
And Nico Hülkenberg.
The Steiner is overrated.
Exactly.
Last up then, Jamie, our special feature. Because, of course, because it's not even confirmed necessarily that they will definitely be on the grid in 2026. And it gives us something interesting to talk about, of course, is Cadillac.
Yes. And there were so many drivers that I just siphoned through. One of the drivers was absolutely nailed on. So,
which is?
I immediately put Sergio Perez in that team.
Interesting.
Obviously, he's Mexican and a Cadillac
are
American.
Are they going to have to pay a 25% import tariff for
him? Well, they'll start calling him the Gulf of America instead of the Gulf of Mexico.
They'll start calling him the Gulf of...
They'll call him the pilot of America. Or just calling him America.
The Americas. The Americas man.
Exactly. I think they want a face and they want... Ideally an American driver, but to be honest, there aren't any who are going to be that good. So, yes, I put Perez in there because obviously he's a free agent. He's a little bit... He's not like a young... Obviously, he's towards the end of his career, but he's not ready to quit yet, I don't think.
Oh, apparently everything I've read is saying he's done with it.
Well, until Cadillac come calling with $50 million.
$50 million Mexican peso.
Exactly. So I put Perez straight in. And the second seat, I was just siphoning through so many drivers. Alex Palou was in there briefly. Joe Guan Yu to get that China market. I don't think that'll happen. But the driver I did land on eventually was Felipe Drugovich.
Interesting. That's a very left field but good one.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, I hadn't even factored him in.
Aston Martin had so set in their ways with Alonso Stroll and then Tsunoda Stroll for the rest of time. Drugovich was never going to drive a race seat in that car unless someone gets injured. It's time to call it quits and find a new way of getting into F1, because I think he's certainly good enough based on testing times and the way that he performs in practice sessions as test driver. So yeah, and obviously Brazilian, there's a big market down there as well.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it, obviously, but you think, well, that market might be absorbed up now by Bortoleto this year. But I'm always quite impressed that, because obviously the way that Drugovich won F2 was obviously very dominant, but kind of, he's in his third year. I mean, I've only now just thought of it, but you could have said like a Théo Pourchaire or someone like that as well. Could have been a shame. I mean, I personally have gone, you said there's no Americans around. Colton Herta would like a word. I'm not going to sit here and definitely say he's going to be up to F1's scratch, but I think he'll give it a go. And alongside it, I've said kind of similar vibes to how you've put Perez in. I've said Carlos Sainz. I think he'll make
the
move. He'll take the gamble. He'll go, I'm either here or I'm at Williams. I may as well just try it out, see what happens.
Yeah, I guess he can try and get a feel for how upward the trajectory is at Williams, and if it's not upward enough,
exactly,
find somewhere
exactly.
new.
So I think, there's so many drivers that could be in that Cadillac lineup, isn't it? Like you said, I've gone down the IndyCar route. Alex Palou could have been there, but of course he's Spanish, not actually American, so I wondered how kind of for that they would
be. So you put a different Spanish driver in instead.
Well, I've put Colton Herta in instead, is what I've done.
I guess, yeah.
For that seat.
But Max Esterson is in Trident in F2 this year. He's American. Jack Crawford.
Yeah, I always forget he's American. Jack Crawford won't get an F1 drive, man.
No,
I can't see it ever happening. But very, very interesting then.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the one with the most talk. Obviously, they've got two.
If they're even there.
Drivers.
Exactly. If they're even coming in for 26, they might delay it till 27 for all we know. But we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see.
Let us know who your Cadillac and all your driver lineup is, actually. And who's
exactly.
the most mental.
Yes.
That's what I want to know.
Because we're definitely in a weird kind of time up. Like we said, it seems to be the case always that it's drivers or they'll kind of do the big reshuffle a year before the new regs and then things stay fairly level. But we've already, like we said, we've already kind of got the idea that it's going to be doing that's dropped pretty early. We think, well, we both have said as well, haven't we? I think the only ones we've both said is going to be Doohan and Hadjar that are going to be gone.
Yeah.
Because Bortoletto's staying, Behrman's staying. You think Campanelli's going.
Well, not going.
We both think Lawson's staying. Moving.
Exactly.
I can't get over your hate for Campanelli, man. That is so funny.
Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens. Maybe I'll be proven right.
Have we got anything else to add, Jamie? Has anything else come out in the Formula One world since we've started the show? Because normally this is where things get
Friday's
exciting.
Usually a quiet day, isn't it?
I would just argue the opposite.
Alpine have put a weird thing on social media, but
what have they put?
Just it's some promo rubbish. It says rise higher. Is that going to happen?
Apparently Williams are doing their launch now at the moment or something. I don't know. Obviously they've got a new title
weirdly,
sponsor for
teams
this
year.
Williams tweeted out 1 minute ago at the time of recording that they have tweeted a picture of their car.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow,
it looks like last year's car.
Am I blocked by Williams? Oh no, there they are.
They're Atlassian Williams as of now.
It looks exactly like last year's car, just with a few more sponsors.
It might be last year's car with this year's sponsors.
It does. It looks quite nice. I like the white lines.
Yeah, exactly. Of course you do. What's
that? It looks nice on prime tyres as well.
It does. Prime tyres, showing your age once again. Skiing 183, dearie me. Let's see, we'll do kind of a full video, won't we? Breaking down with all the cars next week, won't we? Which hopefully, you get two podcasts in like 5 days, hopefully. Because Jamie and I are going to get back into the swing of things. But like we said, Jamie, have you got anything else to add?
No?
No? Wonderful. Thank you all so much for watching. If you have enjoyed, like we said, let us know your driver lineups 2026 down in the comments below. Get yourself subscribed. Like I said, trying to hit 1k subs at the moment. Before the start of the year, that's going to be quite optimistic. But we'll try our hardest. And Jimmy and I will be back then next week doing some normal F1 news shenanigans because we finally can again.